Welcome back.
Yeah, welcome back. I misled you slightly because we were confused as what next. This session is actually maps and location, and then we're going to do the wallet.
You must not have known where you were.
This happens to me.
Yes. Yeah,
Yeah,
exactly. But
exactly.
luckily we have this location and map thing that's going to help you.
Oh, God, you're sharp. Yes, indeed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Like a cheddar cheese.
Oh,
it's getting worse. Getting worse. Do you see? You have to get Rob Miles within a million miles of this place, and all of a sudden,
yeah.
Cheese and bad jokes
Already
pervade
then.
everything.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, I'm excited about this.
Yeah. Okay. So, maps and location, or even location and maps. Let's get it the right way around.
Either way.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Yes. This is kind of fun session as well. So we've got a new Windows Phone Runtime Location API. So I'm going to show you how to use that, which has got a number of benefits compared to what we were doing in Windows Phone 7.1. So there's a one-shot location thing. I'll show you how to do that. Continuously track the phone's location. Background location tracking, which we touched on earlier in the course. This is where I'm going to show you how to do it. Then we're going to look at the maps control. Well, actually, they're kind of intertwined, these two things. And new maps control, what you can do with that, and animating that map display using the map views. So that's what we're going to look at in this thing, about 25 minutes or so. So first of all, let's look at the new Windows Phone Runtime Location API. So on Windows Phone 7.1, we had the system.device.location.geocoordinateWatcher class was how we interacted with the location system on the phone. That is still supported. All your code from 7.1 will still work just great under Windows Phone 8 and the related classes in that library. Moving forward, though, you probably want to start thinking of, if you're doing new app development, use the new Windows Phone Runtime Location API. This is, as it says, convergent with Windows 8 Location API, so it's pretty damn close to what you're doing on Windows 8. And it's got a number of new capabilities. Improved ability for just getting your current location. That was kind of tricky with the geo-coordinate watcher. You just wanted to find out where you were. You had to start up a geo-coordinate watcher, start catching position changed events, and try and check that the positions you were getting sent through weren't kind of stale and cached. And then you had to try and get the location. It wasn't that easy. So there is now a method to get the one-shot, the location API. And we've got improved capabilities for location tracking. You need to check the IDCAP location capability to use this. If you call one of those APIs, you're going to get an unauthorized access exception. Now, the location system on the phone actually gets data from a number of different places. First of all, there's the built-in GPS. Every phone has a GPS radio in it. And of course, this is the global positioning system, which connects to satellites, locks onto three or more satellites. Highly accurate, but it does take a lot of battery. If you, any of you who have ever tried using a sat-nav, for example, a package on your phone and forgotten to plug it in, will know about that. It doesn't last so long. Uses the battery, a lot of battery power. It's not particularly quick at getting an initial fix. Once it's got it, it's highly accurate. And doesn't work at all when it's indoors. You've got to have a clear view of the sky to get a fix on the satellites. So the second method it will use for getting location is through cell tower triangulation. So your phone at any point in time has sight of probably, you know, maybe two or even more cell towers. So it's always scanning around to find the best cell tower to connect to, give you the best mobile connection, best signal strength. So it can use that information by it knows where cell towers are located. And it can look at the signal strength it's getting from them. It can do a rough calculation through using trigonometry to figure out roughly where it is. It's not super accurate, but it's very power efficient, doesn't take much battery. It's quite fast, but when you are in an area where you haven't got many cell towers, like out in the countryside, it really doesn't work terribly well.
Like in the fictitious town that you live in.
Yeah, like in Llanfairpwllgwyngyll in North Wales.
Yes.
Yeah, cell tower triangulation. Okay. Wi-Fi is the other one. So as phones, this is kind of crowdsourced thing. So as you connect to Wi-Fi, you get the location data will be sent back and is fed back. And it kind of builds up this map, if you like, of Wi-Fi access points. So that's kind of in the middle of these Yeah, depends on circumstances as to how accurate it'll be. Maybe good, maybe not. So it's kind of in the middle in terms of the accuracy and the power and the speed and how useful that is in urban areas. So which of those locations can you control to say, oh, okay, I only want to get such and such? Well, you can't actually specifically say, I only want Wi-Fi triangulation or something. The only thing you can do is set the position accuracy enumerator to high if you want the most accurate data available. This will usually mean it will fire up the GPS. Often that's the case. But if you just want to leave it to the phone and just say, okay, you know, give it your best shot, you just set it to default. You can also set the desired accuracy meters properties, another way of influencing how accurate and how long it will take to get a fix. So if you're only interested in the nearest 100 meters, set that to 100, and then you're going to get a quicker fix, because as soon as it gets within that range, it will give you the position information back again. But it's up to the geolocation service on the phone to figure out how best to satisfy your request for location information. This is this new one-shot location API. So this is a new thing. This is very convenient. If you just want to know where the phone is, you new up a geolocator object. You can give it a desired accuracy in meters, so it will just give you a response as soon as it's got a position that's within that accuracy range. And then call the getGeoPositionAsync method on the geolocator instance. There's a couple of parameters there. You can say the maximum age. So this is looking at the cache. So the phone obviously is getting position for a number of different things. I mean, for example, there's the Find My Phone service on Windows Phone. You can go on a website. If you lose your phone, you can go and go onto the website and say, oh, I've lost my phone, where is it? And it will give you the last known position. So clearly the phone is tracking its position and is sending it up to the cloud for that service to work. So there will be a cache of the last known position that's been taken on the phone. The maximum age says, if there's something in the cache, go and pull something out of there, unless what's in the cache is already 5 minutes or older. So it will have to go and get a new value. So it will use a cached value if there's more recent one than 5 minutes. And then the timeout is how long, if it decides it needs to get a new fix, how long are you going to wait to get a response back? So 10 seconds in this example. And then it will give you back a geoposition object, which has a latitude and longitude in a geo-coordinate object. You can dump that to the screen, as is shown in that example, or use it for whatever other purposes you need. The unauthorized access exception try-catch you can see there, that's an indication that the user has turned off location tracking in the phone settings. They can do that. The other reason why you get that exception thrown is if you've forgotten to ask for the capability. But let's assume on a real phone that where you've tested the app and it does work normally, this could be because the user has denied location tracking in the phone settings. Just a quick reminder about user consent. If you're just using location data that you get with these classes just within your app, you don't need to ask explicitly for any user consent. And they'll see that. I mean, I'm sure you've all seen this if you've got a Windows phone, that when you download an app from the store, if it's got the location capability, at the point of purchase, you get a dialogue coming up saying, this phone may make use of your location data. Do you accept this? So you have to accept at the point of sale. And that's sufficient as long if you're only using that location data within your app. If you plan to trap location data and then send it to any other service or another person, so upload it to the cloud and make use of it for some other reason, then you have to actually get explicit opt-in consent from the user. So you have to put some UI into your app to ask them, this is what I'm doing, are you okay with that? And this will be checked when you submit your app for submission into the store. So. We already showed this right at the beginning of day one, that actually the Windows Phone emulator comes with a pretty good location simulator. So we can track the location with that. Just a refresher of that, the basic location and map thing, this is the demo we saw before where it has a map pane on, this is currently resolving the map, as long as I've got network connectivity. Here we go. So the map will display by default at zoomed, right, well, this is called zoom level 1, which is kind of a whole world view. And if I hit we can set our current location, So let's go over to the location tab here. It's currently centered on Seattle. So I can then, this button here is me. So this is finding my current location. So I'm going to hit the app bar button. It's now going to call that code to find my current location, and it will center the us on the appropriate point on the map. Well, it's actually somewhere where I put that pinpoint, which is somewhere actually downtown Seattle, I think. So let's put us back up in Redmond and do it again. And the map will redraw at the new location, he says. Won't it, Andy?
Maybe I didn't.
Yeah, that's all right. They should pick up the latest pin. That's not good. Well, there you go. Demo gods have let me down for the first time this course. What's going on here? Main page, does it? So, what it should have done. Just stop it and run that again. We'll get our current location. We get the new geolocator. We've got a design accuracy meters of 5. We're going to now get our position. Maybe it picked up the cached value or something. You see. Okay, there we go. Redmond Transit Center. So we're now in Redmond Town Center, which is pretty close to where we are, actually.
Sure is.
Yeah. We're actually down there somewhere, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's where we are, around here. So, there we go. That's the basic use of the map and the one-shot location thing. But if you want to actually get you want to track the movement over time, you can use the same class, but there's a different mode for this. Continuously tracking the user's location does drain the battery more, so you only want to use this if you really need it. So how you track location is, again, still using the geolocator, but you set a movement threshold here. This is going to throttle the number of position changed events you get. So there's a status change and a position changed event handler, and you can see there, this is the logic for a button to start and stop tracking of the position change of the phone. This is the status changed event handler. If you get position status.disabled out of that, again, that's another indication that the user has disabled location in the phone settings. Otherwise, you'll get these other events firing as the GPS hardware or the geolocator starts the tracking operation. And when it's ready, it will start generating geopositions, and you'll start getting geoposition changed events. This is what the position changed event handler will look like. Very simple. It just fires, and you get a new position changed event args object, and you can pull out of that your new position. Pretty simple stuff. So the next demo does just that. Open this guy up. It has on it this is the one actually we used yesterday morning. So it has two paints, a pivot. We have a map, which is by default zoomed out at world view, and then we can actually start tracking our position. And start track location, and here we are, we've stopped at a breakpoint in the code where we knew up our geolocator, set a movement threshold, and hook up some event handlers. And then we change the content on the button. We're hooking up an event handler for when the map is resolved, because we're going to actually use that to drive a progress bar. And then let that run. And it's now resolving the map to our current location. Here we are, Redmond Town Center. Let's just zoom in. And let's move us down to Marymore Park, the edge of Marymore Park. And because we're tracking location, the map will, there we go, it moves over to the new location. Zoom in again. Back up to Redmond Town Center. So you see here we are actually, and we're putting push pins onto the map. We'll come to that in a moment. And let's go over to Union Hill Road. So the map is tracking, and that's just by we're getting those position changed events. The geolocator position changed here. So this is the code that's firing. And what we're doing is we're creating a new geo coordinate object from the event, the args, the position changed event args gives us back a geo position. We're pulling the values out of that and using that to center the map on the new location. making sure that the zoom level is at 15, so we're seeing a sort of street level view. Mm-hmm. And then we're drawing a push pin and resolving them and resolving the map. So that's that position location tracking. Now, this is this is a new feature in Windows Phone 8, continuous location tracking app. So this is really for satellite navigation kind of apps. So in the code I just showed you there, as soon as that app loses focus, that will be it will be suspended, and it will stop tracking location.
Right.
Now, we saw an example yesterday with a background agent doing a rough background location tracking every 30 minutes. That would still work.
Good for turtles.
Yeah, good for turtles, absolutely. Yeah, you can get an accurate route, its path, and you can map it up and just see where your turtle has been. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, if you want to truly track location, even when the app loses focus, then you need to make use of this new background location tracking feature. And for that, you need to go in and edit the manifest again. So this is the bit highlighted in blue there is what you need to change. So the default task tag will be there already. But what you need to do is inside it, put this background execution in it. Execution type name equals location tracking. That location tracking is a kind of a magic string. That's just what you put in. It's not the name of your app or anything. But that background execution, this is what enables continuous background location tracking. And what happens then is, as I'm sure you remember from yesterday, when an app is suspended, normally you'd get the application deactivated event will fire. You can see that where it's hooked up in your app.xaml class there. But there's another event on the phone application service, the lifetime event, called running in background. And this will fire when your app is running in the background, is continuous background location tracking. And it's important to understand that if your app, even if you've got that in the manifest, if at the time it is suspended, it's not actually, the geolocator object isn't actively tracking positions at that time, then it will be suspended just like normal. It's just like a regular app. But if at the time it would normally be suspended, it's currently actively getting position changed events, that's when this behavior kicks in.
Okay.
So we get a running in background event handler. So this is just an example. All we do in this particular example, we've got a static bool property on this class called running in background. And when the running in application running in background event fires, we're just going to set that to true. And what we're going to, that's just a flag. Because when we're running in the background, there's no point executing any logic that is playing with maps or updating the UI. All we're interested in at this point is recording the position changed, the event, so that we can, when the app comes back to the foreground, we can then draw an updated map or whatever with push pins, or draw the route onto the map of where they've been.
Right.
So this is an example then in the position changed event handler. We look at that running in background variable, say, if it's false, then we're not running in the background, so then we can update the screen. This is a simple example where we're just updating some text blocks. But if we are actually running in the background, well, in this particular example, we're going to stick a toast up, our old friend, those annoying toasts.
Excellent, I love those.
Yeah, we love those. Yeah.
With marmalade.
Yes. The clue is in the demo purposes only. This is not a good idea in a commercial application. It will be a good way to get your app uninstalled pretty damn quick. So, just show you how that works. Right, so this application is in our app.xaml. This has all been set up already. We've got our running in background. We've got a breakpoint on there. We've got a breakpoint on deactivated as well. So let's run the thing up. And currently, we're going to suspend it. It's not actually doing, go to page 2. On page 2 is where we actually fire up the tracking. So it's not tracking location at this precise moment. So we can suspend it, and you'll see we've hit the breakpoint on application deactivated. It's been deactivated just the same as it always ever had done. Mm-hmm. So nothing's happening.
Same as it ever was.
Same as it ever was. Same as it ever was. Same as it ever was, yeah. That's right.
We're getting sued.
Yeah. So, and now I'm going to hit this go to page 2, and now we are actually actively tracking location. There we go. There's our current first one, and then let's just move it over here, and we're going to put us in the swamp there. Oh, you've got a new lat long.
Wait, I think I live by that swamp.
All right, there you go. Is this your own personal swamp?
It's the Snoqualmie River.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes it becomes a lake when it floods.
So we actively got, we've got code tracking location at the moment. There we go, and it's changing. You see the lat long is changing as we change our location. Heading for the mountains.
Yes, you are.
But now I'm going to suspend it. And, hey, look at that. Application running in background. How spectacular is that?
It is.
And it's running. It's still running, because if I go and change my location again...
Ooh.
Ooh. So now we're into that toast business. Right, now we're getting right up to the mountains now. There we go, 4775. So you can see how it works. Ooh, index. It's climbing there.
I've been there.
I'm a climber as well. Wales is a musician. There you go. So, and then we can resume it, and we're just back where we were. So let's put another one, and it just picks up.
Andy, do you think developers will try to game the system and try to find a way to utilize this?
This is interesting, because this is the only time, this is the only time in Windows Phone where you can actually have two apps, third-party apps, actively executing code side-by-side.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying nothing.
I'm not going to say anything either.
No. There you go.
I just know human nature and how developers are.
Yeah. So I haven't seen anything in the submission guidelines about, like, making sure that you're not just tracking location for your own nefarious purposes, like right. You want to do sockets connection to another app or something.
Something like that.
So, yeah, can go play with this, guys.
Right.
We've opened the door for you. We're not leading you anywhere.
But remember, it's Pandora's box.
But it is interesting.
The end user might not be thrilled with the battery life.
Yeah. No. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
And we love our users. So, right, we're going to just wrap up with a quick look at the maps control. It's a maps control. It shows maps.
Oh, excellent.
There we go. We're done.
And we're done. Controls.
No, okay. There's a new map control, which has come from technology from Nokia as part of the arrangement between the deal with Microsoft and Nokia that was made when Nokia phones moved over to smartphones to use Windows Phone. They brought their very superior and very excellent mapping technology is now offered on all Windows Phone 8 devices, not just Nokia's. That's very good. The Bing Maps control is still there, so if you've got code that you're bringing forward from 7.1, that will still work just great. But the usage of this control does differ slightly. You need this ID cap map capability. Now, here's a little hint for you. If you forget to ask for this capability and you run an app, just drag a map control onto your page and you try and run that app, you actually get a XAML parse exception. This is not actually a terribly good indication of the fact that you forgot to ask for the capability. So just beware of that. If you get a XAML parse exception after you put a map onto your page, it's probably because you forgot to ask for the capability. So you can create a map by dragging one onto the page, and it will end up in XAML like that. Or, of course, you can create one in code. There's an example of that, as you can with any control. The center is by default is a zoom level of 1 and centered at lat long 0, 0. You can obviously just change the center property to a new geo-coordinate to reposition the map, and you can modify the zoom level. So 20 is the maximum of that, which is the like close street level. When you're changing views, there's this nice feature called a map view, which is defined any time the position of the map is changed as a result of panning, zooming, rotating, or tilting. And you can use the set view method to define a new map view, and it has a load of parameters. You can see them there. The important one I want to call out, though, is the animation kind at the bottom. This map control has a lot of nice, rich presentation capabilities. So you've got four different cartographic modes you can select from. The default one is the road one. But then you've got like an aerial view, a hybrid, which is a combination of the first two, and then a terrain view where it does nice shading of the nature of the terrain. And they're all pretty, very, very pretty maps, and you can have a go with them. There's also a light and dark color mode. So you can choose between that if you want to show daytime and sort of nighttime views. That's the kind of thing typically you'll see, you know, in satellite navigation software. You could also do this kind of 3D overlay of, you can do a landmarks enabled property to display landmarks and pedestrian features enabled to display pedestrian features such as underpasses, steps and that kind of thing. But there are some restrictions. Zoom level has to be 7 or higher for landmarks and the pitch property is 25 or higher. Just really, really quick demo for that. There's not much to say about this. You'll be pleased to know. So first of all, the first demo that we looked at on this one, the basic location and map, shows those map modes off quite nicely. I think we're done with that. Drill into our current position. Oh, we could lose that. It's going to draw into our current position. Which was where? Oh, where? We're off in the mountains now, aren't we? Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not such a good idea. Back to Redmond. Oh, let's go to my hometown again. Right, there we go. Draw this map up.
Do you have to run really fast into a wall in the train station and to get through and go to where your village is?
There's an underpass.
Okay. I don't know if there's some magical portal or something.
Yeah. No.
Just checking.
Oh, good. I'm glad we cleared that one up. We're going to zoom in. Hopefully. There we go. So, yeah, different map modes. We've got, there's the road mode. There's an aerial mode. So, this is the aerial view. There we go. There's my town. Yeah, it's pretty nice. The hybrid mode. This overlays the roads on top of that aerial view. That's really nice as well.
They've built it back since the Kraken destroyed it. Per what you said yesterday.
Yes, they have. Yes, yeah. Yes. There's a terrain mode.
Where's the castle?
It's actually about 10 miles along the coast up to the over to the east there. Well, there's one that way, and then there's another one about 20 miles the other way. Yeah, it's pretty nice. We haven't got one in our town. That's the coastline. Yeah, so really nice.
That is lovely.
Yeah, light mode is one you're looking at there, and dark mode is the nighttime one. Actually, works better when you're on one like this hybrid, for example. So we're in dark mode at the moment. Go back to light mode. He says. Okay, maybe it's better in road mode then. Let's just try that. There we go. So we're in dark mode at the moment, and now we're going to go to light mode. So there's all the nice map modes. That's pretty, really nice. Then I'm also going to just show you the map views. Here we go. So this one does two things. Remember what we do. It's actually... close that. So it opens up, and by default it's set in Chennai in India. And if I just click this middle one, it's going to animate. This is doing a new set view. So the code behind here is going to call map.setView, and it's going to move it over to Redmond, but it's going to apply an animation. So you can see the nice animation that applies. It zooms out, and then zooms across, and then zooms back in again. Now, you may not have seen that, depending on how fast your video link is. But now we're zoomed down into downtown Seattle. I can just... refresh that so we go back out to the world view. And the alternative is just to do a one shot, just set the center, and then it just goes bang and you just get a refresh. So I'll do that again, but this time animate it so you can see the nice sort of zoom in feature. So that's taking advantage of that animation feature on the set view. All right, so that's just a quick introduction to the kind of stuff you can do with the maps. One last thing, push pins. Unlike the Bing Maps API, we don't actually have a specific push pin object. But you can draw any UI elements onto a map overlay object, and then you add that map overlay object onto a map layer. You've already seen plenty of examples of push pins being drawn onto the map. Those are all self-drawn objects. This is the kind of code you would use. Create a push pin. This is doing it in code, but you could actually create a user control and do it that way. But here we're creating a grid. And then we're putting a rectangle into the grid and we're colouring it black. So that's the bottom of our push pin. And then we're adding that to our grid. And then we're creating a polygon as well, putting the points on it. And we're painting that black. So that's creating our composite object, which is our push pin's shape. And then we add it. So that's how the push pin object. And then this is how you would actually add a push pin to the map. So you call that create push pin method I just showed you, which gives you back this custom grid full of rectangle and polygon in it. You then new up a map overlay object, and you set the content of that map overlay object to our custom push pin object. Then you set the geo-coordinate and the position origin of that map overlay. So this is where it's going to be drawn onto the map. And then finally, create a new map layer, add the map overlay onto the map layer, and then put the map layer onto the map. A lot of steps, but mm-hmm. This is the process of doing it. I'm not going to show you that demo. We're a bit over time. Right, last topic. There are these new map launchers. We mentioned these in the launchers and choosers yesterday. The maps task fires up the new maps control. You can, there's a number of properties you can set on that. There's the center. You can put a search term in and it will go and return you push pins for matches for that search term. Set the zoom level and then just call show. So just the same as any other launcher. There's the maps directions task, which does the same thing, but you actually can set a start location and an end location, and you do that with the dot start and dot end. If you leave any one of those out, it will default to your current position. So you've got to set one or the other, of course. So commented out there, code there could be used to set a labeled map location by name. So it will also do geo-coordinate lookups as well by name, so it will find you a match for the Space Needle. Unlikely to be too ambiguous about what that is. And then you can do directions to the Space Needle. Very nice and easy to add really rich graphical map direction maps to your applications. Two more, the map downloader task. So with the new map system, maps can be downloaded for offline use. So
I
you
love
can
that.
So you can new up the maps task and the maps directions thing, and it could use offloaded offline maps. You can still get your position by GPS, so you can work without, you know, if you're on roaming or you haven't got a data connection, so that's really good.
So just like in your car.
Yeah.
With a sat nav system.
Yeah, totally, yeah. So this is the map downloader task, which brings up the UI you can see on the right there to actually choose different maps to download and cache on your phone. And then there's a companion one to that, which updates any that you've put on your phone. So this is the one.
So you're never going to get lost again.
Never going to get lost.
You don't have to use your data connection to pull down mapping tiles.
Nope. There you go.
Saves battery. Saves bandwidth.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. And this is really good. Yeah. What was that from the back?
Our maps shared between applications.
Okay. Our maps shared between applications. Well, these maps are used by the built-in maps control, the maps launcher, and the maps directions. So in that sense, they are, but they are a system resource. So when you're using these controls, they are using these cached maps to draw the detail onto the map. So
right.
Absolutely they are, yeah. So in review, we've looked at the new location API and the new maps control and the kind of stuff that you can do with that. It does differ a little bit from what we were doing on 7.1,
mm-hmm.
But it's a better mapping solution and greater results and a good experience for your users.
Excellent.
Good.
That's all right. Good stuff.
That's that topic. We are done with maps and location.
All right. Now we know where we are and we're offline.
Yep.
And we can take a break.
We're going to take a break. Then we're going to come back. This time we really are going to come back with the wallet. And then follow shortly after that with in-app purchase. And that will take us to lunch and wherever it will be in your part of the world.
Yeah.
All right. See you soon.
Bye-bye.